Good morning, Redeemer Bible. Wonderful to see you here today. I'd like to welcome all of our members and regular attenders. Those of you who are watching us over the internet, you're very welcome. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're gathering with us in any way to worship our great God and Savior. It's July 2nd. Can you believe that 2023 is halfway over? A lot has happened, but there's a lot coming up. Aren't you glad that the Lord is there with us to see us through every step of the way? If you look in your bulletins on the back side, we have a lot of really nice things going on and important things as well. This afternoon at 3 to 5, we're having an ice cream social. Everyone like ice cream? Yeah. You want to be here. Next Saturday, July 8th at 11, we're having a memorial service for our dear brother Ray Crelia. He's with the Lord now. I can only try to imagine the worship service he's enjoying. And one day we will join him as well. But please plan to be here if you can next Saturday at 11. Also, they're looking for volunteers to do work around the church. I don't know specifically what needs to be done, but I'm betting there's all sorts of things. And please see Pastor Forrest about that or call the church office. If you have some free time and want to help out, we're continuing with our adult Bible fellowship meetings on Sunday mornings, 9:30. I invite you all to come to that if you're able. And if you look with me at the bottom of the bulletin at our offering chart, that last Sunday, it's off the scale. Let's keep that up, okay? Let's keep that up. That's very encouraging. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We want to put aside the lesser things. They're important to us, but they are lesser when compared to you. You are our great God, our Savior, our Creator. Our Savior. Thank you, Lord. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Give us insight. Open our eyes and our ears to what you would teach us this morning, what you would have us to experience. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in the faith that we can fellowship with them. Please be with those who are sick or ill or unable to travel. Help them, Lord, to know that they are remembered, that they are important to us. Comfort them as only you can. Please be with every aspect of this worship service. Help it to glorify you. Let us, Lord, enter into your presence with thanksgiving and singing. And, Lord, as we celebrate Independence Day, coming up in a couple days, help us remember the blessings of liberty and be truly grateful. May we indeed hold these truths to be self-evident, that all of us are created equal, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And may we live out this legacy by using our freedom well. May we each remember that every human being bears your shining image so that we might love thy neighbor as thyself. Thank you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Good morning, Redeemer. How's everybody doing? Good. Glad to hear it. Let's go ahead and stand up together, and we're going to begin worship. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Way beyond the blue. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Everybody.
Good morning.
We're gonna get back to our seats now.
Let us hear the word of the Lord together. This morning's reading is from Psalm 34. It seems like David was pretending to be insane so he could get away from Abimelech. Then he turns and writes the psalm. We're going to be reading Psalm 34, verses 1 through 14. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I pray to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow or shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed to the Lord. And the Lord answered me and listened. He saved me from my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. But for those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. This is the word of the Lord. Praise God today.
Amen. Let's go ahead and continue worship now.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This Sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Loaded Rainbows.
Loaded Rainbows of living color. Flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. They're singing all the strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are
Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we do adore you. Thank you for everything that you've blessed us with. Lord, even things that we've prayed for that we haven't gotten, and we think, Lord, why has this happened? Or things that we don't understand that have happened. I pray that we would just give that all to you, and we would realize that your ways are greater than our own. We would understand that we should not lean on our own understanding. Lord, thank you for being here for us. In spirit, here with us, and also giving us your word, that we can run to you with any questions and get an answer. Lord, and sometimes we might not like that answer, but we trust you above all else. Lord, I pray that we would open our hearts to receive any truth and wisdom that you would have for us this morning. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
popular book was put out a couple of years ago called Moonwalking with Einstein. Anybody ever heard of that book? Moonwalking with Einstein. Anybody? Nobody? Oh, you heard it? It's a good book. I enjoyed it. I'm going to moonwalk for you. Ready? I have no idea what I'm doing. Okay, just pretend in your mind that I just moonwalked across the stage, because I can't do it. I couldn't even if I tried. Like, really tried, I couldn't do it. But the title of the book is called Moonwalking with Einstein. And the premise of the book is that it was written by a guy who is he self-described himself as an absent-minded person. And so what he did is he went and he interviewed a bunch of people about memory, how do these memory skills, and then he went on to win several memory championships. And so the idea behind the book is that you can train yourself to remember things. And one of the important takeaways, one of the things that I got is the value of absurd association. When you take two things or three things and you associate them, but they're absurd. Like there's no logical reason why these two things should be put together, moonwalking with Einstein. And when you put those two things together, something crazy happens in your brain, and your brain seals it, like remembers it, because it's absurd. And that's the point of it, as a point of it. And there are a number of other skills that he taught in the book, but that was one of them, just the power of an absurd association. And the premise of the book is that you can learn to be a rememberer. You can remember things, and it's the whole concept of remembering and memorizing is not genetic. His premise, and he has good research to demonstrate, his premise is that the concept of remembering is not something that's genetic. Like, people are not just born good rememberers, but you can learn the skills to become a good rememberer. It's a valuable, valuable tool today in our culture, especially in the Western mindset. Remembering things is not important in our culture. Remembering things is not important. People have a tendency to forget things all the time. They forget if they close the garage door, they forget where they parked in a parking lot. People just forget stuff, and it's just not a big deal in our culture. But the problem with that is that people also don't remember things that are very important. Our culture doesn't really embrace the concept of learning from history, their own or somebody else's. They don't really value the concept of remembering things that are important, like morality. It's just not an important, remembering is not an important concept in our culture today. And so when it comes to remembering genuine wisdom, when it comes to remembering content that's in a Bible that might give someone some help about how to live, it's just not something that they value. They don't value remembering wisdom. And that's just a cultural thing, but we live in that culture and we are often very much the same. We don't place a high value on remembering. We don't place a high value on memorizing. We tend not to. You know, and so we not only don't remember where we left our phone, but then we also don't remember how the Bible tells us we should talk to people on the phone. Yeah, we don't remember where we put our Bible or where we left our Bible, much less remembering to pick it up and actually read it. We have a sense of it's just hard for us to value the concept of remembering. And that was kind of a similar situation that Solomon was dealing with his son. And he says, I've gone through chapters 1 and 2, and I've told you all these things that you need to remember for wisdom's sake. I've given you genuine wisdom. And now what he's going to do in this next section, he's going to say, hey, remember this. Doesn't use the word memorize, but I'm going to use it a lot. Memorize this, because it's something that's going to help you. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, invite you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, which is where we're going to be today. And we're going to look a little bit at what Solomon says to his son in chapter 3. And chapter 3 begins to talk about some of the benefits of seeking after wisdom. And then how do we carry that out? How do we use those? And so Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, talks about this concept of Solomon is telling his son, hey, remember this information that I've given you. Hold on to it tightly. Write it deep within your heart. And the conviction that he has, and that you're going to hear from me a lot this morning, the conviction is that once we have that put deep within inside of us, it becomes an invaluable tool. Not saying that we don't need a text to read. We still need that. But having something inside of us that's with us everywhere we go and being able to recall that information in an instant is an invaluable tool. And so Solomon counsels his son with these words in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And what you're going to see as we go along is that Solomon's going to say, hey, memorize genuine wisdom because it's satisfying. And then he's going to say, repeat genuine wisdom because it's honorable. And we'll explain that as we go along. At the very end, I'm going to give a challenge for you, just like I do most Sundays. And I've got a challenge for you about setting up a memory program of scripture memory. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I just want to give you a heads up. That's where we're headed this morning. And so first of all, how do we remember scripture? How do we remember the genuine wisdom that's located in the Bible? And the first thing that Solomon tells his son is this. He says, memorize genuine wisdom because it's satisfying. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. It says, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart, and if you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Chapter 3, verse 1 starts off, my child, and it's just a reminder. Most people believe, and I do here, Solomon is writing to his son, his physical son, his biological son. We are getting the benefits of the wisdom that's being said to him, but this is who he's addressing, and he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Solomon says, never forget the things I have taught you. Now, this is kind of a poetic way of reminding them. He says, don't forget. And I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about that, but that's kind of a weird thing to say, right? Don't forget something. Because, you know, if you like logically, if you're like, I'm going to forget to get milk on the way to the store, on the way home today. I mean, I'm going to forget that. By trying to forget something, you end up remembering it. That's not his point. He's not saying try not to forget something. He's saying the opposite. He's saying do the work to make sure that you remember. Remember this. And I'm going to suggest, and I think the context clearly indicates, he's talking about memorization. He's saying, try not to forget or remember the things I have taught you. Likely chapters 1 and 2 and everything else that's going to come, or the latter portions of the book. He says, never forget, remember, memorize the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. The idea of store is to guard it, to keep it. Don't allow it to run away. Don't allow it to fall away. Don't allow it to wander off. Guard the things that I've told you in your heart. Keep them deep down inside of you. The heart is often translated for the concept of in your mind or in your soul, but it's the idea, it's the inside of you. It's that part in you that's permanent. It's that inner part of you. Not the outside part that people see, but it's that put it in the inside of you and make it stick. Store my commands in your heart. Don't let go of them. Verse 2, if you do this, if you store my commands in your heart, you will live many years. You will live many years. Now, this is a good time. We haven't talked about it yet, but I need to let you know that Proverbs are principles, not promises. Okay? Proverbs are principles, not promises. So when a proverb says something, the idea behind it is this is generally true. It's not saying that if you memorize Scripture, you'll live to be 90 years old, guaranteed going to happen to everybody. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that if you are a person who puts Scripture in your heart and you hold on to it and you keep it, generally speaking, you're going to be a person who lives a long life. Why? Because you're not doing dumb stuff to get yourself killed. Okay? It's just a general principle. It's not saying it will automatically every time happen to everyone. But generally speaking, if you put God, what the words that God have said, the genuine wisdom that he has put in this book, if you store it within your heart, generally speaking, you'll live longer than someone who doesn't. It's just a principle. It's a proverb. Solomon observes it, communicates it to his son. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Your life will be peaceful. Your life will be fulfilled. Your life will have some substance to it. And again, not a promise, it's a principle. A person who embraces genuine wisdom and memorizes it and lives by it is likely to be a person who's going to then do it. And then if they do it, it's likely going to cause them to have a life that's satisfying. They're going to find that their life is enjoyable because they're living it the way that God said is the best way to live it. So the whole point of what he's trying to say here is memorize genuine wisdom because it's satisfying. There's a value to it. There's a goodness that comes from memorizing Scripture. It's a bit ironic if you knew me 20 years ago. Let's say 20 years. If you knew me 20 years ago, you would laugh at the concept that I memorize my sermons. Like, if you knew me 20 years ago, you would say, if there's anybody in the world who could possibly memorize his sermons, it would not be Forrest. No, because I just had no concept. I asked my wife literally probably 6 to 12 times a day to remind me about things. Hey, do you remember when we did this? Hey, when did this happen? When did this? And I just had no ability to memorize anything. Or I didn't try. And I was so forgetful. People would say that to me all the time. Forrest, you're so forgetful. Forrest, and I kind of wore it as a badge of honor, which was kind of dumb. But anyways, I just was a very forgetful person. Super forgetful. And that's why if you knew me then, you would say, it's crazy. It's crazy that I am a person who preaches from memory. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, how would Forrest, of all people, be able to do that? And the thing is, what happened along the way was I realized that preaching from memory is so much more effective. I realize that as I'm preaching, I can see what people are understanding or what people are not understanding. And I don't have to worry about getting off on a rabbit trail because I know where I'm at. The memory, having it is so valuable. I'm like, I got to figure this out because this is the best way to preach. And in a similar way, it's kind of the same concept. Having genuine wisdom stuck inside of your head, it helps you on a daily basis. When you're up against a situation where you have to make a decision and you're not sure what to do, you're like, yeah, but I know what the wise thing is to do because of such and such a verse. If you're in a situation and you're not sure how to get out of it or you're not sure which way to go, you can always step back and say, but I know what Proverbs says. I know what genuine wisdom says about how to handle this situation. I know what to do because I've got it stuck in my head and it's right there. It's accessible. And that's the point of what Solomon is trying to say. He says, memorize genuine wisdom because it's satisfying. It gives you a way to live life in which you will find fulfillment and satisfaction. Because as you're going through your life and you're having all of these decisions that you have to make, you can start making those decisions based upon what God says is genuine wisdom, the right thing to do. Think about it just for a minute. Just think about it for a minute. If you had 52 verses committed to memory, if you had 52 pieces of genuine wisdom committed to memory, how much help would that be in your day-to-day life. 52 verses. If you picked out 52 wisely chosen verses, and you had those stuck in your mind, you could access them at any point in your day. If you had 52 different pieces of genuine wisdom, how much help, how helpful would that be to you on a day-to-day basis? Now, 52 seems like a lot of verses, but hold on a second. Let's break that down just a bit. That's just one verse a week. If you memorized one verse a week, and at the end of a year, then you would have 52 pieces of genuine wisdom stuck inside your head that you could pull out at any moment to apply to any situation. Just think about that for a minute. Wouldn't that be valuable? Wouldn't that be helpful? Isn't that something that would be advantageous to you as you're going through life and having to make decisions? Oftentimes our Bible's not with us anyways, and so this, if you had it in your head, that would be so helpful. 52 is a lot. We can cover a lot of life ground in 52 verses. So let's go on in the passage, and we're dealing with a question, we're answering the question, how do we memorize, how do we remember genuine wisdom? And verses 3 and 4 are going to tell us that we need to repeat it. And if we repeat genuine wisdom, then it will be honorable. It'll be honorable. Verse 3 says this, "Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation." Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Expressions of genuine wisdom here. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Don't let it escape. Don't let it wander out of your head. Don't let it wander out of your heart. Then it says, tie them around your neck as a reminder. Their culture was a little different then at that time, but they also wore necklaces. And people would wear a necklace as a reminder. In our culture, we do necklaces sometimes to remind us of people in our life that are significant or that we love, be it a parent or a friend or a brother or sister or whatever. So it says, put that necklace like a necklace as a reminder. And necklaces are so helpful because when you see yourself in a mirror, you see the necklace. And you're reminded of whatever it is that you want to be reminded of. And you're walking around, as you're moving around, the necklace kind of jiggles around on your neck, and it just reminds you, hey, whatever it is I'm reminding you about, it's right here. It's a reminder. And so Solomon tells his son, he says, hey, write this just like a necklace around your neck. Make it something that's a continual reminder to you, something that will continually remind you about what's important. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. The end of verse 3. Write them deep within your heart. That's not actually something that we can physically write deep inside of us, but write it in a place that it's not going to leave easily. Write it deep. Put it somewhere safe. Verse 4, then you will find favor with both God and people. Then if you do that, if you remind yourself of this genuine wisdom, then you will find favor or grace or a good orientation towards God and people. God will look with you at grace and with favor because he's told you the best way to live is this way, and then you're doing it. And he will look at you with favor and with grace and say, hey, good, you're doing what I told you to do. But then it says something more, and with people. With other people, when people see us as a person who not only embraces genuine wisdom, but when people see us as someone who remind ourselves of genuine wisdom and keep it at the forefront of our mind, they have a general positive feeling about that towards them, according to Solomon. Even if the people don't necessarily agree with the genuine wisdom, they'll look favorably upon the person who holds genuine wisdom in high regard. The last part of verse 4 says this, and you will earn a good reputation. People will see your behavior, they will see what you do, and they'll say, That person's got a, that's a good person. That is a good person. I'm going to give them a good reputation because they're doing things that are honorable. My family right now is stuck on this program called The Great American Baking Show. Anybody seen this? I'm not stuck on it, but they are. And basically the premise of this is they start off and a bunch of people, bakers from all over, they come in to this kitchen area and they're given instructions about certain things to make. Instructions. Sometimes they give them good instructions. Sometimes they give them little instructions. Sometimes you just give them the ingredients and they tell them to make something. And then it's like a competition who does the best job. Now, I am impressed. The one part about that show that does impress me, because I have no desire to be a baker. I don't mind eating. What is it called? I don't mind eating the food that they talk about, like pudding. Like the pudding on the show is not really like pudding, like chocolate pudding. It's like bread, cupcake things. It's just weird. But anyways, I would love to eat it, but I have no desire to be a baker. But I will tell you this: what's impressive about that show is that the judges give them tasks to make these, to bake these goods, and I've never heard of them before. And they're like, oh yeah, I made that a couple hundred times. I'm like, what? I've never even heard of that piece of baked good. And you've like made it a bunch of times? It's impressive that these guys have a memory of these baked goods. And they make all kinds of different things. It's just impressive. Now, I don't want to be a baker. There's nothing about that. But I can appreciate someone who has dedicated themselves to remembering something like how to bake something. I can appreciate that. And what this proverb is saying is that people in general, when they see someone who has committed a book of genuine wisdom and they've committed it to memory, they may not agree with you, but they'll find that admirable. They'll look at that and say, you know what? I may not want to live with it that way, but I respect you because you have not only dedicated yourself to live that way, but you also have taken the time to memorize and to be really focused on what that book actually says. And it's admirable. Not only to God, it's favorable, not only to God, but it's also to people. So there's a lot of value for us to memorize scripture, to memorize verses, genuine wisdom from the Bible. Because it not only makes things more enjoyable for us and it's satisfying, but it also is admirable to the people around us. It's something they can appreciate. If let's say that you took this challenge and you did, and you for the next year you had 52 verses of genuine wisdom committed to memory. Let's say you did that, and a year from now, you're living through a situation and something happens, and you're caught in a situation and you're not exactly sure how to respond, but that verse pops into your mind, and you can instantly respond and do what you should do in the situation, and it works. You see how valuable that would be? Let's say you're in a situation and all of a sudden you feel the sense of anxiety and worry popping up. And the verse comes to mind, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, and it tells you exactly how to handle that. Step by step, do this, do this, do this, and this is what will happen. And you have that verse back in your mind, anxiety pops up, worry pops up, your brain automatically goes to this passage of scripture. You quote it in your mind, and it says, this is what to do. And you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and this is what happened, and it happens. Wouldn't that be pretty cool? Wouldn't that be a way to live if you could actually live where you could live on the spur of the moment, and you could say, I know what to do in this situation. I don't need to call Pastor Forrest, although he'd be happy to talk to me, but I don't need to call Pastor Forrest. I don't need to pull out my Bible and flip through. I already know what to do. And that's the dynamic that I'm trying to convince you. It would be so beneficial to have if you had that 52 pieces of genuine wisdom stuck in your head that you could pull up in an instant in any situation. So how do we remember genuine wisdom? First, you got to memorize it. Second of all, You got to repeat it. You got to keep reviewing it in your head. You got to do that. Last week after the service, someone asked me a question. They said, hey, at the end of the service, you have a benediction that you give. I said, where'd you get that from? And I at first I was very confused. I was like, what do you mean, where'd I get that from? I mean, it's in the book of Ephesians. Don't y'all know that? And then I was like, wait a minute, Pastor Forrest. You never told anybody that. How's anybody supposed to know that? How's anybody supposed to know that the benediction that I do every week, I've been doing it for a year now, how's everyone supposed to know that that's the Bible? Because you never told anyone. And then I thought through and I thought, you know, that's really the dynamic that's in play here. We oftentimes know the right thing to do. We have a general idea what the right thing is to do. But if we know where it comes from, If we can quote the book, if we can quote the chapter, and we can quote the verse, if we can quote those things, it gives us so much more in ability to stand strong and to know we're doing the right thing. If we're going to a situation, it's like, well, I think the right thing is to do is this. But on the other hand, if you can go into a situation and say, I know this is the right thing to do because such and such a book, because such and such a chapter, because such and such a verse tells me this is how I should do it. It gives us confidence. We're going to say, I may not be fun, but this is the right thing to do. I know it is. And so the challenge for each of us, and my challenge to you this morning is this. Take the commitment to learn a verse a day, a verse a week for the next year. Commit to learn one verse every week for the next year, knowing full well at the end of the year, you're going to have 52 verses committed to memory. And second of all, every day as you're working on that verse, review all the other verses you've learned. Now, the first week is easy because you haven't done it yet. And then as you get going, you're going to have a lot of review. But take the challenge every week and review all the verses you've learned up to that point and work on learning one new verse. We had a little bit of work done this week, and I've got a starter set for you. And this is the starter set. So the idea behind the starter set is there's two cards. One's a title card, and then the other one has a first verse on it, and then the back side of it. It's just a starter set, and so then what you can do is go out to the store and buy a 3x5 set of cards, put them underneath here, and here's your start. And it gives you, I've already given you the verse to work on for the next week. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's what we're preaching on next week. Probably there's a reason why I'm doing that. But anyways, this is a starter set, and it just gives you something just to get started. Go to the store, buy a set of 3x5 cards, put it here, and over the next week, genuine wisdom, work on memorizing Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. My hope is, and the ultimate idea behind this challenge is this, is that at a year from now, you're going to be in a situation where you have 50 plus verses committed to memory, 50 plus pieces of genuine wisdom that you can pull up in an instant anywhere, that you can pull up and know that this is the right way to handle whatever situation you're involved in. So this week, go out, buy yourself a stack of 3x5 cards, and start learning one verse per week for the next year of genuine wisdom. If you're here this morning and you don't have an intimate relationship with God, you need to talk to somebody after the service. I'll be up front. I would love to talk to you about it. If you do have an intimate relationship with God, but things are not going so well right now and you need someone to pray with you, come on up front after the service. We'll be happy to pray with you. There's people available who would love to pray with you. For the rest of us, let's figure out a way of getting genuine wisdom inside of our head permanently by memorizing and reviewing that genuine wisdom. As we come to the end of our service, we take some time now to reflect And if you don't have one of these disposable communion cups, if you just raise your hand, we have some people who are available and they'll hand those out to you. This is a time we call, affectionately, we call the Lord's Supper. And the reason that we call it the Lord's Supper is that, first of all, Jesus instituted this for all of us. He instituted it for believers. He instituted it for believers because he wanted them to remember what he would do later that night as he would offer his own body and his blood to be poured out for the sins of all humanity if they would only just place their faith and trust in him. But what happens is Jesus knew us better than we even know ourselves, and he knew that over time we would lose track of what's happened. He knew that we would forget. He knew that we would choose not to remember. And so he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to remember this sacrifice that I've made of my blood and my body by doing something we call the Lord's Supper. And there's two pieces to the Lord's Supper. There's two parts to it. First part is where we take the bread and we remember the body that Christ allowed humans to kill him so that he could pay the penalty for their sin. And then we drink the cup, and that's where we drink. That's where we drink the cup, and that's where we remember that Jesus was willing to shed his blood so that we could have that forgiveness. If you open up the top and reveal the first part, quoting from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." Paul is talking here, and he's letting us know. He's saying, I received this from Jesus himself. He told me this. He said, "For I passed on you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took some bread. And when he had broken it, he gave thanks. He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Then he closed with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
All right, everyone, let's stand and sing one more time before we leave this morning.
Social, even if you don't bring ice cream, come and eat a bunch of it because there's going to be a lot here. We'd love to have you. Now I'm going to do the benediction from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. "Now all glory to God who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.